This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
You want to rock? Join us for live night. Friday, December 13th, Showbox Soto. That's coming up in just a few short weeks.
I know.
Doing everything live from the Daily Mix morning show up until the men's room. You'll play a little live, Big Dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Ted versus the FCC. Of course, we will drink and toast with all of you with the shot of the day. Barbershop Quartet's going to be there. Every single thing from the commercials, all the music, 100% live. It's a little high wire act. Live on stage.
A little bit.
It's kind of a hectic night, so to speak. And it'll be broadcast on these very airways.
It's hectic, but man, it is fun.
Tickets are on sale now, KISW.com, and the tickets start at only $35.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a good night. I hope to see you down there.
I've got a couple of texts today. For today's question, good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? I like this one. It says, my great uncle had 17 children in 8 years. Seven quote-unquote wives showed up at the funeral. Impressive. And then he adds he was also the second to be the OG Marlboro man out of approximately 500 dudes who tried out for the gig, carried double revolvers on his hip at all times. True legend. I think that's cool that you were one of the Marlboro men. You know what I mean? Because that's like my dad. So my mom used to model way back in the day, and she did an ad for Kodak, which we were all excited about as kids. And it was a full page ad in the old newspaper. And it's just her literally holding a one of the Polaroid instant camera pictures in her hand. She's kind of smiling at the camera. And then she's kind of in with good with those guys. This is Rochester, New York. So there was Xerox, there was Kodak, and there was French's. So she got a gig for my dad, who did not want to do it, as this is not really his style, but he got to pose as a chef for French's when they were introducing something like barbecue sauce line or something like that. So he really didn't want to do it, but my mom being my mom, you know, she's persuasive. Yep. So he finally went to do it. He was gone all day. It was a weekend shoot. And in my mind, like you say, hey, I'm going to take a picture because that's what they're going to feature in whatever magazine or some crap like that. And I'm like, all right, cool. So my brother and I figured he drives to the spot. They take a picture. You drive home. It was probably a 12 or 15-hour day. He's mildly irritated when he gets home. We're like, where were you? And he's like, man. He explained how a photo shoot works, but he goes, the one thing about it, aside from, and it's cool to see the picture, but he said, I'm holding a plate of ribs. And he has a chef's hat on, the apron, the whole nine. And he's holding a plate of ribs in his hand. And my brother and I could not stop laughing at this, because at this time in our lives, if my dad made toast, it was a success, right? Maybe in the last 20 years, he's gotten into the slow cooking of meats. And he even says, I only do that so I can stop getting grief from all my relatives in Houston. Where the slow cook meat. So he said, I'm standing there, man. And he goes, I'm getting hungry because the ribs look so good. And we're like, well, I mean, do they use the same ribs? He goes, well, here's the thing. They weren't ribs. They're wood. But we did not know this. And even though they're advertising their barbecue sauce, and the point of the picture is to show you how good the barbecue sauce looks on the ribs, it was shellac.
Oh, no.
I was like, for real? I mean, my brother and I, not devastated, but our heads were blown open. We're like, what? And he goes, dude, I don't know how you guys don't know this, but most of the food you see on TV, you notice nobody's actually eating it.
Right.
He's like, it is not real food. And to this day, one of the things I do kind of annoys my wife because now she notices it, but and a lot of commercials, particularly for fast food, maybe they eat a french fry, all right? But when you watch them eat the burger, One, it's always a perfect bite taken out. But when you look, they're basically just holding the burger against their mouth. Mm-hmm. They don't actually take a bite. They act like they take a bite. But when they pull the burger away, there's that perfect bite. And now you just chew.
So then, I feel like it's rare to see them even eat anything.
So then there's a commercial on one of these medications. I don't know. Maybe Skyrizi or some crap like that. But it shows some broad getting on a sailboat. I believe she's going to get sailing lessons with like three or four other people. That's the general gist of this commercial as they talk about the medication. But at some point, they sit down and they pull out their chicken salads and all the stuff. And they're sitting down.
You girl and your Johnson.
Yeah, there you go. And I realize nobody eats. They all hold their food in their hand. No one takes a bite. Immediately, I'm just like, fake food. And I know it's stupid. Most people know that. It's just one of those things I've not been able to not notice ever since my father brought that up.
Yep.
I'm telling you, it's just, and it bugs me. It just bugs the hell out of me.
I've got each of my grandparents on the Montgomery side have a unique story, which probably happened within a year span, whatever the deal is. So my grandfather Montgomery and my grandmother, they got divorced. And it was kind of later in life. The kids had already grown up. I think the kids were probably in their late teens, early 20s. Either way, they divorced, and my grandmother decides that she is going to move down to San Juan, Puerto Rico. Now, at the time, for a temporary stay before she got a permanent residence, she's living in a hotel. And at this point in time, the Flying Melindas are doing a show.
Oh, right.
Where the grandfather is walking across a tightrope in downtown San Juan from a building across the street to her hotel. My grandmother is at the pool this time, and knowing my grandmother, she's absolutely hammered. That's how she kind of rolls. But at this point in time, everybody did walk out to the street to watch this.
Sure.
At the same point in time, it was not broadcast live, but they had an entire crew from ABC's Wild World of Sports, and they were filming this to show the following weekend.
Yeah.
All right. He gets out there. I don't know what the deal was. He started to wobble. Keep in mind, these are old cobblestone streets in that part of old San Juan, and still are. It's right by the Chili's, if you've ever been down there.
Of course.
Being dead serious.
Oh, thanks for the point of reference.
Right. So, walking across this, he falls. And I mean, he absolutely does exactly what you think from that height into the middle of the street. And someone from the crowd screams, "Is he dead?" And my grandmother just dropped the S-bomb on him, like, very long, like, and then walked back in, apparently, and started calling up all the relatives on our side of the family and telling us, because she'd been talking about this.
Yeah.
With, like, my dad, my uncle, like, "Hey, man, this guy, the grandfather, is going to do this high wire act, man. We got the crew from ABC there in the hotel."
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
"And stay in here. They get the wire up, man, so it's going to be this whole to-do, blah, 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 blah." He didn't make it. So, okay, so that goes down. So that's one story from my grandmother where she watched a man who was, you know, probably at that family at the height was like the number one tightrope walking circus family.
I mean, they would do pyramids
at big, like, at Madison Square Garden.
But they're still the number one.
Yeah, the entire family.
Yes.
Right, because the last one was what? One of the family members was walking across.
They've done Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. And
did he do the Snake River?
I don't remember. But and look, I end up, and this sounds bad, and I don't mean it this way, but I do actually mean it, which is, if you're going to watch someone walk a high wire, you know, especially those heights, not like circuit style, but like you're saying with the Melindas, man, deep down.
He was also the grandfather. He was the patriarch of the family.
But if you see them fall off the wire, horrible as it is for them, I'd say you got your money's worth.
He almost caught himself, apparently, when he
fell. I've seen the clip. Not the clip of him hitting the ground. They never show that part. But anytime, actually, when the Melindas, the current Melindas, are going to do one of their high wire acts, they always go back to that clip explaining, because they need to remind you how dangerous it is, so they show this guy get the wobble.
They almost say that if he would have just dropped, he would have been better off. But when he tried to catch himself, the way his body started tumbling, when it hit that wire, he was going end over end as he fell.
Ooh.
So instead of just dropping, like you would drop if you jumped off a cliff, he was end over end.
How high up was he, do you know?
I was at the hotel. I wanted to find out where my grandmother lived, because she ended up staying there for like over a year.
Well,
so
sure,
it did not become her temporary home. It became her permanent home. But when I was in San Juan, of course, that was one of the places I wanted to go. So I went to the pool. The pool is the same place it's always been. That hotel has not changed. It's been renovated, but whatever. So I took a couple pictures, sent them to my uncle and my dad, like, hey, I'm at grandma's place, you know, and took a picture of the pool that went outside, took a picture straight up. It is the tallest, there's a building that that J-Lo and Mark Anthony lived in for a while that was like a new high-rise.
Of course.
That at the time was the tallest building in San Juan.
Okay.
So when you look up, you're like, yes, this is substantial, even if it's 12 stories.
That's enough to kill you.
It still seems like it's, you know, like a skyscraper there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That family has a lot of tragedy.
Well, I mean, if that's what you do for a living, you're kind of begging for it. I mean, you put in your best effort to not fall, but if that's what you're going to, your entire family stakes their careers
on
this. Like,
they were performing at a circus in Hartford, Connecticut in 1944. Fire breaks out. 168 people died.
I'm glad you brought this up with a fire, Ted, because that's the segue into the next part of this.
Well done, Ted.
Yes. So.
I got you.
Thank you. My grandfather, Montgomery, again, they're divorced, they're separated. He ran a appliance chain in the West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky area. He was a distributor.
Okay.
So he would send the appliances. He was like Albert Lee, but on a much smaller scale.
Sure.
But he was also the head of the operation. They had a number of stores in the area, blah, 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 blah. TVs, washing machines. If it's an appliance, you get it at Persinger Supply Company. So they're now divorced, but he is the president of the company. He's the one who founded the company. And they are having an appliance convention in Las Vegas around the same time, within a year or so. So he gets sent there by Zenith or whoever the hell, Whirlpool, one of these old school companies. And he gets a trip to go to this convention in Las Vegas. Now he is single. So he's staying at the MGM Grand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The MGM Grand catches on fire. Granddad makes it out of the hotel. First night he's there, he makes it out of the hotel. That's what I find out. They had to go to and the convention was at the MGM.
Okay.
So basically at this point in time, that people died in that fire. It was bad. And they shut the convention down, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I guess he stayed on a couple extra days, stayed in another hotel, but the convention aspect of it was completely over. What I learned later in life was my grandfather's room burned. It burned down. The whole thing burned down. What apparently happened was he was one of the last people out of the room because he had found himself a lady there.
Okay.
Of the night, being single again. So at the time this was going down,
he's knee deep in the hole.
He was. And
a lot of stuff was going down.
And it was banging on the door. And according to my uncle or my dad, who tells the story, I think my grandfather thought it was either this woman's husband, boyfriend,
pimp. Oh, right, right. Okay.
Cops.
The banging on the door was intense. So they just kind of kept quiet and kept doing their business. One of the reasons he was the last person out. And then I believe she is the one that started smelling smoke.
Oh, really?
And when they went out into the hallway was completely covered in smoke. They grabbed as much stuff as they could. They put a sheet over their head, and they ran with a couple extra people who were there to the fire escape and got out of that hotel before it burned down. Multiple people died in this. This was not like a, this was kind of a big deal when it went down.
Sure, sure.
But he got out with a prostitute or someone's wife or someone's girlfriend. I found that out later.
I don't think it was a prostitute if you're worried about who's at the door.
The pimp is not going to interrupt it.
The pimp shows up because you did not pay her or something like that goes down. But
yeah, I'm not clear on that, but I do know that
Sometimes they just rob people.
This is true.
You know what I mean?
I mean, these days, for sure, I just feel like in Vegas, knowing how well-oiled their prostitution thing seems to run down there, that, like, man, this was not a prostitute. It's probably some other drunk lady.
Jesus, God, the fire killed 85 people.
Jeez, man.
I'm just looking at it right now. Like, I thought I'd get, like, 6 or 7. Like, nope. That was the deadliest disaster in Nevada history and the third deadliest hotel fire in modern U.S. history.
And your uncle and, your grandfather and his mistress.
Got out.
87 people.
They got out.
So they managed to get out.
Jesus, that was 1980. November 21st, Friday. Exactly. He apparently he had just gotten into town for a weekend convention. That crap went down.
Damn.
Good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
My dad ended up helping somebody who was having a bit of a medical emergency on a flight one time. I forget where he was flying. You know, it was from Spokane back here to home. He would fly out to Spokane once a week to go out there and do a car auction, fly back the same day sort of a thing.
So How long is that flight? 45 minutes?
Like 45 minutes. Okay. Like it's nothing, right? So he's used to this flight. This is just a day of work for him. But he gets on there, and the flight takes off, and this is one of the rare occasions. They might, you know, because it's such a short flight, they do have a drink service out there, but they kind of sprint through it, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
It's real quick.
And so they get up in the air, and they're running this one through, and he's looking at this flight attendant, and she's looking a little bit on the pale side.
Okay.
And so she ends up actually passing out there on that flight. Right in the middle of the aisle there, and he catches her as she falls down, and now he's standing there. He's like in the middle of the aisle. There's people now descending upon this woman, trying to help her out and make sure that she's going to end up okay. I don't know if it was like a diabetic thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what the exact situation was, but it was to the point that they said they need to land the plane for an emergency landing in Tri-Cities. This is a nothing of a flight.
Right.
It's a 45-minute deal. But Dad was kind of at the head of that whole thing. And the way that it was going, maybe she was having a seizure. That might have been what it was, that she was having a seizure. And so they left her laying there in the middle of the aisle with my dad grabbing onto her shoulders, sitting in standing in the middle of the aisle while everybody else is strapped in there. And he landed that on that plane in the middle of the aisle, holding onto this flight attendant as they landed the plane.
What do you get in return for that? I mean, like, do you get free drinks at the bar?
Right, you get a voucher.
You get a $25 voucher.
Hey, get a voucher.
Next time.
They're broke, man. They didn't give him a damn thing but a high five and a thank you.
Hey, thank you so much.
Next time you get on Air West, you're
it was wild.
You know what's funny, man? Like, there's all these stories that every family has, and I almost feel bad for my brother now because you never want to be the new story. Usually it's just the old stories. And this isn't even a story. It's not anything. It's just that it's on video. And I guess that happened 2 years ago now. He's officiating whatever game in Detroit, and the ball bounces off of his face mid-call. All right, so everyone in the family laughs about this. It gets revisited every so often. But as Thanksgiving has been ramping up, even my kids are like, we got to resend that video to everyone. And keep in mind, everyone in my family has seen it. There's just somehow...
Somebody sent it to me yesterday.
But it's like this unifying thing. It's kind of our way of saying hello. So on Thanksgiving, you'll say, Happy Thanksgiving. That'll be my entire text. And then there will be a link to the video of my brother getting hit in the face with the football. It has absolutely become the favorite thing in the family. And people have been accomplishing things. Look, my one cousin, she was Miss USA. Nobody cares anymore. My other cousin, she's acting in Hollywood. Nobody cares anymore. Once my brother took a football off the face, I'm like, you absolutely just beat out everyone.
Yes.
Just for that. And of course, he's like, yay.
And it's not about him being the NFL ref.
No, it had nothing to do with that. Just you were in this place and you got hit in the face on national TV, and we all love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, dude, I'll tell you one, right? Like, we've been doing this show in Seattle for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Met Ice Cube, countless rock stars, right? Ozzy Osbourne.
Cool.
All this wild stuff, right? I have hung backstage with Rob Thomas, right? I've drank backstage with Bert Kreischer. So this spring, we had that ceremony in Arlington, and we're all sitting around, all the Smiths are sitting around. Maybe it was the day before. We're eating crabs, right? Got two bushels of Maryland blue crabs, this and that. And my buddy Joe is with me. Now, this was before a station flipped here in the cluster.
Yeah.
And my buddy Joe just nonchalantly goes, you know, Ted kind of works with Delilah.
Oh,
and God. My family, my cousins, they don't really care what I do.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Half an hour.
Really?
Do you know her? What about this? What about that? And I was like, are you guys serious? You like all the cool stuff I get to do? Like, I boxed in a casino in front of 2,500. Like, all right.
Yeah.
How do you know her? And I was like, I don't. I said, I kind of. She's nice. She used to be nice to me, as I know her hairdresser. We used to drink together.
Yeah.
But just they were floored. And I mean, he cut like out somebody like it comes up.
And you know what, man? There was the guy that used to be like head of the janitorial staff here, whatever the hell it was. He knew what we did, and he would see different guests come and go.
Oh, my God.
And
that's right.
And he recognized these guys, right? An old brother, but he liked rock music. He liked jazz. He loved Star Wars. I mean, you name it, dude. He liked everything, all right?
Hey, girl.
So,
hey, girl.
Especially like ladies. But he's like, go ahead, Ozzy Osbourne up there. I'm like, yeah, man, Ozzy. He's like, yeah, man, I saw him getting up from the parking garage. Like, cool. So Delilah came in one day just to cut, like, some ads or something like that. And he's like, hey, brother, come here. Was that Delilah? I said, oh, yeah, she's here for like an hour and a half, whatever, man. She's got to do some stuff here. He's like, listen, brother, I need you to do me a favor. Can you, like, get me an autograph? Or I'm like, are you being serious right now? Are you being serious? Like, you've seen all these people.
But it is her.
So we took her down there with an autographed picture.
Yeah.
And they started to talk. They got pictures together and everything.
Nice.
You'd think he'd be the biggest celebrity.
Brother, we made his life.
In the world. And the guy looks like Aaron Neville.
He does.
He just didn't look like one of those guys who'd be like a huge Delilah fan. You know, and to know what someone looks like who's on the radio is another big
thing. He was a huge fan. I would have never guessed that from this guy.
Our question, good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less at 4:30. Time goes by so quickly.
That was awful.
Yes.
Good thing we weren't here. It's like, dude, we were. But bad. What is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? Here is one. A California man who went missing for 25 years, found by his sister after she was sent a news article with his photo.
It amazes me that you recognize, I don't know how old he is.
Yeah,
but like 25 years from now, I'd recognize my brother. But if it happened 25 years ago, I'd be like, maybe we're related.
Lassen County Sheriff's Office in California said they received a call from a woman on November 22nd who had information on a previously reported missing person. She informed the sheriff that she was sent an article from USA Today showing a picture of a man she believed to be her missing brother, and he was reported missing in 1999. The article, published in April of 2024, requested assistance in identifying the man who had been admitted to a hospital in Los Angeles. Now, shortly after, the deputy contacted the hospital with the news, told he had been transferred to another hospital in July of 2024. The man was nonverbal and had never been identified.
Oh, wow.
The deputy contacted the second hospital, who confirmed that they had a nonverbal, unidentified man in their care that matched the description of the missing person. A detective went to the hospital, fingerprinted the man, who was positively identified as the man reported missing 25 years ago. Woman was told the good news by the deputy, and the family will be reuniting soon, although they have not yet. Names of the brother and sister have been withheld for privacy.
Wow.
Good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a family, a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Alicia. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Pachola.
Hola.
So my dad was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. He's in his mid-70s now. So when he was just out of the military, he decided he needed to get out of L.A., and he was going to move to the Pacific Northwest because one of his brothers had gone to college up here, and he had visited and said, oh, that's a nice place. And so he put in a relocation notice for Portland. And on his way from Los Angeles to Portland, he was driving. Mount St. Helens blew.
Oh. Kind of puts a damper on things.
Yeah. And so he said that the air was just completely filled with ash, and he just decided to keep driving.
So he kept driving?
He did not stop in Portland. He drove to Seattle?
Yep. He said he kept driving until the ash cleared, and that was Seattle.
Well, that makes sense. It was blowing west to east.
I mean, I think I may would have turned around and headed back the direction I came. That's just me, but, well, you know, I overreact to volcanoes.
He didn't have a job, he didn't have an apartment, and he said, I'm just going to keep going, which is great, because then he came up here and met my mom, and they had me.
Okay. Yeah, I think sometimes, too, when you're driving like that, you're just like, screw it.
So basically what you're saying...
I'm already in it.
You're saying that if Mount St. Helens, in theory, had not have blown up that day, you more than likely would not exist.
Exactly.
That's a hell of a weird thing, but there's a positive Mount St. Helens story.
Have you ever gone there just to take it in, to look at it?
I've been there a couple times. We've taken my grandparents before they passed. I think that was before I truly knew the story. My dad tends to trickle truth the stories. He's got some pretty epic ones.
Okay.
And that just happens to be one of them. He came up here and worked, you know, got a job working at a theater and kind of bummed around till he got a job at Boeing and met my mom.
All right. So do you have any siblings?
No, not full blood siblings.
Okay.
Well,
how many stops did he make on this road?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. shortly after that, for Christmas, I got a vial of ashes from Mount St. Helens.
Do you know that?
As a gift.
I
had that thing on my shelf in my room. You know, I kind of was into that type of thing. I was doing science projects on glaciers, and
It
was kind of my wheelhouse as far as not screwing up in school on one particular subject.
Right.
So as far as that was concerned, that was like, I was into that kind of thing. I got the ashes, man. I opened them up. I'd smell them.
Does it smell like ash?
Yes. It could have been something out of my fireplace.
That's what I'm saying.
I would not have known the difference, but to me, it was because this was a world away.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, as far as Mount St. Helens, the West Coast was just a dream. So for me to have something that was like, you know, on the cover of Time magazine and all the news articles and all these things, I did not realize the volume of ash that had fallen. So to me, that was not really part of my perspective on how much extra ash was in the area anyway.
Extra ash.
People were trying to just wipe off their cars and, you know, find their dog in their yard or whatever the deal was.
Now, but you're right. It is cool. Like, I don't know if I want to say cool because people got hurt, but it's very interesting. I told you 2 weeks ago, driving down... Right, like my brother has come to visit before, but he's always been in Seattle, right? So he's seen Rainier, but when we got closer to Portland, like, same thing. It was just blowing his, he's like, no. We're like, yeah, that's St. Helens. And he just was like, for real, for real? We're like, yeah. But like,
it's the legendary Mount St. Helens, man. I mean.
Right, and just when you grow up on the East Coast, you just don't fathom that, like, there's these volcanoes in a row. So, you know, you got Baker, then Rainier, right? Then what's it?
Adams,
Mount Hood's out there. So, I mean, Miles, to your credit, like, my brother is what? If I'm 40, he's 50, and he's still like, Jesus, this is amazing.
It is crazy.
It is, for sure, man. I mean, look.
Well, you got to remember, they're still there, and they're dormant, but they're active.
Yeah, they're still active, but, you know, typically, you know, grow up on the East Coast, for sure. If they brought up anything about a volcano, there was Krakatoa. There's Pompeii, and then there the Hawaiian volcanoes that were always kind of spewing lava.
Right.
So you didn't really perceive it as being necessarily the super destructive force, because every time they showed it, it was a Hawaiian volcano. The other ones are lost to history, right? So when Mount St. Helens blew, you're like, I didn't realize that's how volcanoes worked. To me, a volcano already had the crater up top.
Yeah. The one that's crazy is Krakatoa. It's like a zit that, it keeps coming back. Good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a family member? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you doing?
Hola.
Doing well, Craig. Hola. Thank you.
Hey, actually, it's Greg.
Oh, Greg. Well, hello, Greg. Yeah. It's even better to meet
you. Would you call him Craig?
Yeah, Craig.
I got an Uncle Craig.
You'd rather be a Greg, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that all the time. Anyway.
That you do, Craig.
Yeah. I like the topic today. It's pretty cool. So, my grandfather, this was back in the 60s. I was born actually 2 months before this happened. So my grandfather used to work at aerospace. And then he got transferred. Well, he actually got asked by NASA to come help build the first rocket that took the first man to the moon.
Oh, damn. That's cool, man.
That is.
Yeah, I was really proud of him. I was only like, you know, I mean, I wasn't even.
You're 2 months old. I'd be proud too.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, yeah, but I mean, later on, I was, you know, I started learning about it, and yeah, it was really cool. It was, and seeing, you know, the video of, you know, in school, the first, you know, man to the moon. I, you know, I got to, you know, say, hey, my grandfather helped send that guy to the moon, and it was pretty cool. And
that is a cool thing.
It's a huge team effort to put anything up into space,
and no one will be the first man on the moon again.
Yeah,
right.
Whether you're an astronaut or not, I mean, when you look at, you know, whether you look at Houston, you look at all the people that somehow have a technical hand in getting this thing done. It's a team effort to get that done.
It's definitely a team effort to put these things together. But and again, this is for my brother, and they always they'll call my brother the rocket scientist. When he does his NFL games, right? And then when I say this to him, because he doesn't hear the broadcast, so you have to tell him what you've heard. I'm like, oh, yeah, they call you the rocket scientist. And it actually pisses my brother off. He's like, listen, man. It's like, I know I'm splitting hairs here. I know they're always going to call me the rocket scientist. But he goes, rocket science is easy. Point something in a direction, explode it, and it goes there. That's it. It's like a bullet. You aim the gun, you pull the trigger, boom, the thing flies. I think any idiot could do that. That's his perspective. He's a software engineer, you see. So once you blast your thing into space, right, his money, his meal ticket here is like all the crap it does that you get excited about later. So if this thing unfolded, he's like, that's the tough stuff, man. He's like, if you've ever lit a fire, it's like a bottle rocket. He's like, any dumbass can do that. And I'm like, well, I don't know about that. He's like, yeah, I do. It's not impressive. Oh, yeah, he takes it as an insult to be called a rocket scientist.
Good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
I do it every time I'm in a room with people.
What's that?
Either people know you, right, like friends or family, and I go, that's Thrill's brother. Or if they're people that don't know you, I go, oh, a guy I work with, that's his brother.
Oh, dude, every time I walk into the local watering hole, hey, man, I saw your brother the other day on TV, and I go, well, because you're a football fan, I know you did. But they, same thing. They always point out, yeah, I know a guy. That's his brother. And suddenly people care.
Well, and our buddy's time of year is coming up, Bert.
What's that?
Said our buddy's time of year, Bert's coming up. I think most people, when they meet him, think of his name as Bert and Ernie. And I said, hey, man, it's because of the It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, really?
That's how Bert and Ernie on the Muppets got their names.
Oh,
Ernie
okay.
was the cab driver.
Oh, all right. Sorry, Matt. I'm like, Bert, what does this time of the year have to do with him? Now, you know, I'm going to drop that on him when I see him. And I saw him last night. Hello, Wade. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, it is Wade, I do declare.
Hola. Hola.
Hola. And before I tell my story, yeah. So I work at a hardware store, and part of my job is to go out and dispense propane, and we got little radios, and I call in the amount of gallons to the cashier or whatever. And I was like, I got 6.23 gallons of propane, I do declare. And I thought I was going to get in trouble by my boss because, you know, there's a radio etiquette, you know.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah, and then he comes in, he goes, oh, you must listen to the men's room way too much.
Hey, as long as he knows the source.
All right, source, got the reference.
Yeah, so I did not get in trouble for that, which is cool. And he got the reference.
Thank God.
Anyhow, so my uncle used to be the pit crew chief for the KISW Miss Rock back in the day, the hydroplane.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I think that's kind of famous. I mean, I grew up with KISW, so.
How long did he do it? Is it like a one-year gig, or do you stay on until they find someone else?
I think he was there a couple of years, and then story has it, I never even met my uncle, but I heard it through all my other family members, but he bought one of the retired boats.
Oh, really?
He owned a auto parts store up north somewhere up there north of Seattle, and he bought it. He didn't really do anything with it, but he owned it.
Yeah. Well, man, I mean, back when we were growing up, that was a big deal. Like, Miss Budweiser. I mean, that sport obviously has faded in popularity over the years. I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but
right.
I'm big in Saudi Arabia and a couple other places. There's pockets, great legs. But back in the day, man, that was on the level of NASCAR. I mean, you had those boats on the front of Sports Illustrated. That was a big deal.
Man. And you're right. There was always, somehow, a woman was always involved in the picture. Even though, like, here's Bikini the champion on, yeah. driver. But, yeah, the chick was always somewhere to be seen. I like this text, by the way. It says, my uncle went to prison for robbing a church at gunpoint back in the 80s. And the only reason he was caught It's because he took out his dentures to eat a sandwich in the back room and left them there when the cops showed up.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's like that story in my family about some second uncle or something. I never met him. But every time you go to the beach, they'd say, be careful. Remember, Uncle blah, blah, blah died because he choked on his dentures.
Wait, didn't like a wave hit him or something?
So, yeah, like a wave hit him.
Between that and a guy who died on a BB, that's...
Yeah, right.
Those are very unusual.
There's some whacked people in my family.
Good or bad, what's the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kyler. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I got a story about how I met my birth dad for the first time on accident.
On accident?
On accident. So I used to like work merch for a band from Seattle, and we're going down to Richland Tri-Cities to have a show there, and I was going to set up the merch room, but I needed a spot to stay. So I hit up one of my buddies that lives down there, and he lived down there in Richland, and he was like, yeah, come through, you can use my apartment. So we get down there, I drive 4 hours down there, and then we get there, and I'm unloading all the stuff, and this lady comes up, and he's like, oh, it's my manager, like, chill out for a second, don't blow up the spot, basically. And so he started talking to her, and she's like, oh, what are you guys doing? He's like, oh, this is my friend Kyler, he's from Everett, blah, blah, blah. He's just dropping, blah, blah. So anyway, she goes, oh, I know him. And I look around, I've never seen this lady in my life before. And she goes, that's my nephew. And it turned out it was my uncle's wife. And she like owned or like property managed the apartments that my buddy lived in. We never knew anything about this. And she had seen me on Facebook before. So she knew what I looked like, and she knew the name because my name's pretty like not like common. And so she was like, yeah, you want to meet your grandma? And so I met my grandma. I met my
What is that like, though? I mean, you know, like, this has to be a shock.
I mean, did you get dropped off on the side of the road? I mean, how did you not know any of your family?
So I grew up single mom, and, like, my dad just dipped out. And
okay, all right.
He, like, dipped out. And so he moved, he had family in Tri-Cities, but I knew, but I didn't know, obviously, and never had contact with him. And so, yeah, and then she's like, I met my grandma. She's like an old lady, like smoking like six packs of cigarettes a day. Like it was crazy. I've never been around that kind of stuff. But anyways, long story short, she's like, you want to meet her? Like, see if we can get your dad over here. And she called him, doesn't answer. So she gives him my number, and he texts me a couple like hours later. And by that time, I was at my buddy's work. He worked at a bong shop, like a head shop. And
that's my boy. Like,
yeah, come meet me at my buddy's work. And he pulls up with my little brother, and I meet my dad outside of a bong shop for the first time.
Aw, that's love.
How old were you?
I was 18 at the time.
Had you met your brother?
No, I've never met my brother, never met my dad. Like, none of that family on that side until I was 18, until that day.
How about now? Are you guys still in contact?
No, I have, like, contact with, like, my dad on Facebook every once in a while. But, yeah, I don't really talk to him that much. It's just kind of awkward. It was kind of awkward experience.
Sure.
Honestly.
Yeah. Does he look like you?
He does. And it's, like, super weird. But I'm, like, a heavier set version of him. He's, like, 130 pounds soaking wet. And I'm, like, 280, so...
Damn.
All right. Okay. Now, are there other things? Because, look, one thing about looking at your parents, and I try to remind my son of this, he likes to remind me that I'm bald, and he currently has flowing locks. I'm like, this didn't happen by accident, brother. Like, this is your future. Like, when you look at your parents, on some level, you're also seeing your physical future. So,
you tell your daughter that?
Oh, I've
you are going to go bald, too.
Oh, trust me,
I'll
tell
you. Keep giving
that.
Me the business.
Yeah, I have one of my buddy's kids. He finds it hilarious. But, like, I remind him all the time. I'll stand there next to his dad, and it's like, you can make fun of me. You can make fun of your dad, but, like, you're going to be bald, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's coming your way. And, look, you can do stuff to fix it. Technology's caught up, but just understand, it's still something you're going to have to do.
I had to tell some kid the other day. They were like, well, why are you bald? And I was like, testosterone, son. Some people have it. Does your dad have hair? And he goes, yeah. And I go, all right, well. I mean, I know his dad, so it's fine. But I just was like,
well, I'm more of a man than your dad. That's all.
I don't even know if that's why I'm bald.
What is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Yeah, so anyway, my mom was a candy striper when I was like 6 years old at a hospital, and she met John Wayne. All right. And then like 12 years or like 10 years later, I actually went to school with his son.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How old was your mom when she had you? 12? Jesus.
Not that young.
13.
Not that
13,
young.
14. How old was your mom when she had you?
She was 17.
Okay. All right. Because typically a candy striper is a teenage aged person.
Yeah.
No offense. Just trying to do the quick math.
No, I get it. I get it. Hey, are you still going to South Africa over the Christmas?
I am. I'm going over the break. Yeah.
All right. So I lived there in the 80s during apartheid.
Okay.
Which was definitely a different situation. But just to give you a heads up, it's a lot like weather-wise, that time of year is going to be kind of probably mid-80s.
You think it's the middle of the summer. They're telling me over 100.
Well, it depends where you're at.
Okay.
So if you I heard you say you're going to Kruger National Park?
Kind of outside of there, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be probably mid-80s to mid-90s. Just don't go hiking in the bushes. Because you might pick up something you don't want to pick up.
What do you mean? What am I going to get? Like a disease from a mosquito or an animal is going to pick me up?
No, like ticks. When I was there, me and my buddy went traipsing out in the bush. That was cool. And we both picked up ticks on our berries.
Oh.
And ended up getting malaria, which is, right now, is not a fun thing.
No, I've got pills for malaria. I'll also be sure to shave myself very well so I can see anything that's on my
body. Stay out of
the
bush, Miles.
Stay out of the bush.
Stay out of the bush.
You're going to take on your bees.
I like that. It's like all these things.
Here's my advice.
He's like, look. You got hippos, you got rhinos, you got lions. Like, brother, don't get ticks on your testicles.
How did two guys get ticks on their bees?
Just walking through the bush.
Walking through the bush. That's where they go.
Not anymore.
You know. Okay.
Just stay out of the bush, dude.
Still to come, the return of Who Sucks Less at 4:30. We've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.